Well, go ahead and take out your copy of the scriptures, and we'll be back in 2 Timothy for a couple more weeks. We're looking at chapter 4 today. And you remember a lot of what Paul is talking about in, 2 Timothy is this idea of living in the darker days, troubled times. He said last week, difficult times we live in. So an illustration of difficult times, right? So three people understand that, right? Difficult times, those are hard time signatures to play. It's supposed to be a joke. Difficult times, we live in crazy times, and we need God's word in the middle of these times. It's, life changes, it's interesting, and people all are in different places. It's something that's also very interesting. It's not all bad, but it can be very heavy at times, can't it? I got another email this morning from a lady who's having difficulty in her marriage, and she, early in life, made some bad decisions and married someone who she shouldn't have, and now their marriage is very hard. She's very young, and they have two young children, and she wants to get some biblical counseling that makes life a little bit upside down sometimes, and her story was very sad. Difficult, dark, crazy times. What do you do? We need hope and stability in these times, don't we? We need God's word as our anchor in a stormy world. Give real help in our problems. From childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. Profitable. God breathed his word to us. All of it. All of his word is God breathed. It's sufficient. All things. It's profitable for all of life and godliness. His divine power is granted to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness to the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Your word is truth. Jesus told us. We need God's word in this world, don't we? Amen. Divine instruction, as we said, teaching, reproof to rebuke where we went wrong, rebuking sin, correction, that literally means to set upright what has fallen. And we all have that in our life from time to time. Correction, training in righteousness, positive discipline, discipleship, positive growth in Christ, so that we would be spiritually mature, so that we would be complete. What do we do then? Put God's word into use. We've been reading Psalm 119 and the readings all for half of this year. And it's been a blessing to me. Reading God's word, remembering what God has communicated to us, memorizing God's word, as the psalmist said, hearing messages, as this passage here tells us, faith comes by hearing. And even Jason Nightingale, he told me once that as he memorizes, one of the things he does is he speaks out loud, because that helps him memorize. He hears even himself speaking the word. And then apply, put into practice. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Our speaker at men's retreat, one of the things he encouraged us to do is that the Sunday morning you is the Monday through Saturday you. Make sure that the Sunday morning you is also, or I guess vice versa is better than playing games or whatever, but that the Sunday, what people see on Sunday is what's the real you throughout the week. And I just talked to a lady a month ago, just randomly met her and was trying to share with her, and she had a bad experience early in life, and her husband had made a profession. He said he was Christian, but then he didn't live the principles. And one of the things that stuck out to me, she said, he would read Ephesians 6, but then when we got home, he wouldn't even support his children. And that just, to her, that was the dividing point in her life, and it broke her heart. And they got divorced and everything, but it's very interesting. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Isn't that important? And that's an easy trap to fall into, quite honestly. It really is. just to hear the word or to know the Bible, but not to be putting it into practice in your life, or even to be honest and say, God, here's my shortcomings, grow me, change me, I need this. To be honest with those in your family about it and to work through those areas, to live by God's word. If we're going to be, if we're going to say that we're God's people, like we said last week, and we believe that the Creator has given us His word, man, we better put it into practice, amen? And it's precious to us. We need it. It's precious. And we want it. And we want God to work through His word in our lives. And we look at the chapter 4 then, importance of God's word, difficult days that we live in, difficult times. God's word is our anchor and rock in those times, profitable for us. And then we come on to the next passage then, some more application points then from that. So read along with me. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and complete patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. He said that to Archippus in Colossians as well. Well, pray with me, and we'll take a look at these few verses together and hopefully make some good application. God, thank you so much for your great grace and just a good weekend together with our guys and just some continued encouragement from your word and just continued reminder even day by day that you are in control. You know what you're doing. None of the things happening in our crazy world escapes you. And that, God, you do have a plan, and it's a good one. And certainly beyond our comprehension, let alone our knowledge, to be able to instruct you in some way. Please help us as we unpack this text today, just to be honest with it, to be honest with you. And, Lord, just allow you continue to work through us. We know there are some specific applications to this text, but there's also a broader application to all of us as we think through your will for our lives. And so we just pray you'd be glorified in us and help us as we put into practice the things you've made us to do as our Creator. And so we're just so thankful for your divine instruction today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, preach the word. Preach the word is the charge. The charge. I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus. There's quite a force to that, isn't there? For a personal letter, there's quite a force to that. And he loved Timothy, as we said, as we've been looking at. He says, Timothy, listen up. Here's my charge to you. I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is a judge living in the dead. Not only a reminder to all people, but specifically to Timothy, that he would stand before Jesus Christ one day and give an account how he handled the word and what he did with what God had entrusted to him. He says, by his previous kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. And it's basically the application from chapter 3, and certainly that application from him telling us what the word of God is for and what it's powerful to do. And so he says, then Timothy, then get out there and do it. Right? Preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. God's people must use God's word, and pastors, it's incumbent on us to preach and teach the Bible, to herald the truths of the word publicly, to proclaim what God says. Now, I've been wrestling with this even this year. I was working with a young man many years ago, and he and some other guys his age would go down to the Ped Mall in Iowa City, and they'd make posters with some controversial statement, and it was true. But just something just to try to engage people in conversation. Or one time they took a big old cross down there and just walked around and tried to engage people. And they would basically publicly just proclaim the gospel, you know, loudly. I've thought about that this year, if I should just go to public, you know, places where people are congregating and preach. I don't know. That's just not really my thing. I kind of like to just talk to people and get to know them and try to have some interaction with them. But I still may do that sometime. I don't know. That's kind of the idea here, publicly proclaiming, heralding what God says. And that's what the prophets would do a lot of times in the old days. You know, they'd walk around just saying, look, God's judgment is coming on us because we've left him. Listen, what God told Jonah to do, go to Nineveh, walk around the city and just proclaim judgment is coming. And so it's kind of what he's talking about there. It's heralding the gospel, preaching the word, talking, certainly in the context of the local church, but also out in the community. I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. There's a force to it because much is at stake, and we will answer for what we teach. And that's why this passage is up there. Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so for us as pastors, that's a hard thing. We have to, told us in Acts 20, preach the whole counsel of God. We have to clearly proclaim what God says, and we can't hold back. And I'll tell you, just to be honest, there are many times, and my choice usually is to try to go through the books of the Bible, go through them all, and not to leave anything out, just because then it's not on me. It's just whatever God had for us that Sunday, that's what you're going to hear, right? I didn't pick it. But I'll be honest, there have been many Sundays when I've got up and got my notes out and said, ooh, I don't want to preach that today. Or, oh man, we're up to that part, aren't we? Right? Then I go back over and make sure that I'm right, because it's pretty, sometimes God's word is right in your face, isn't it? I mean, sometimes it really is. It's God, our holy creator, speaking to fallen people, and it's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to be not what I want to hear. It's going to be not the thing that I think I need today. It's what God thinks that I need, or God says that I need, to be more clear. He tells us in 2 to preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. A very clear methodology, if you will, a way that we should preach, a way that we should teach. Be ready at all times, of course. We have to be ready in season and out of season. That's really manner of life, isn't it? What flows out of your heart is God's word. When an opportunity from God appears, if you will, on your daily schedule, you're right there, and you're ready to talk about what God says, and you're ready to engage in manner of life. And that happens all the time to me, and I love those opportunities. You know, the first time that was really real to me was at Calvary, when it was just Duke, which was odd for us. We usually had many people, you know, several on staff there. And he called our house at 7 a.m. and asked if I could speak in the 8 a.m. service, you know. His back went out, and he told me later, he said, Duke had chronic back problems. He told me later, he said, my back was out, I knew it. I got up in the morning, and I prayed, and I told God, God, if you don't want me to preach today, you're going to have to put me down, because I'm going to do it. And he said he fell on the floor. And so it was clearly God working, and it helped me a lot, and encouraged me. And I was in the shower at 7 a.m., and I needed to get the half hour, whatever, 20 minutes to church yet, and be there for the 8 o'clock service. And so grabbed some old notes that I had because we were doing itinerant ministry. And be ready in, that was be ready in season or out of season. But I think it has a little more of a personal force to it to me. It's kind of a manner of life thing. You know, you're just ready to preach the gospel. You're ready for the opportunities that God is going to give you in season, out of season, when you think you need to be ready or when you don't think you need to be ready. Be ready. Reprove, to biblically refute an error or sin. Rebuke, to bring, and it has the idea to bring the conviction of sin. The rebuke is not just to be nasty or to win a fight or an argument, but to help them see what God actually says so that they will say, you know what, you're right, I'm in error, I have sin in my life, I need to change that. And so it's a helpful rebuke. Exhort. And that literally means to come along someone to help and encourage, come alongside someone to help and encourage. That's what the Greek word means there, to exhort them, to encourage them, to move them along in the right direction. You're right there with them alongside. And then notice the mindset, with complete patience and teaching. Teach for the good of the hearer. Be patient with each other. In ministry, that is very difficult sometimes, quite honestly. Very difficult. And it's a weird thing to be human and a pastor at the same time. And we all are, right? We all are. And there's certainly an expectation, there should be, of growth and things. But you carry yourself right into ministry opportunities, right? And sometimes, hey, I'm sick of it. I am. I am sick of you doing the same thing again. And you know what? I have to deal with that. That's my problem. That's my problem. I need patience in those times. I need to remember who I am, right? I need to remember what my weakness is. And I need to be gracious. And a lot of times I'm not. A lot of times I'm not. I just want people, you know, I want ease or something. I don't want to have to deal with it. And that's not what God has us here for. Amen? God doesn't have us here for ease. This isn't heaven, right? He has us here to work. He has us here to love each other, to do ministry, and to be patient with each other, to be gracious with each other, to not internalize and make everything personal, right? But to love each other and work through things together. Be ready. And here's what I see a lot of times. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. No patience. Christianity. Little patience. Little grace. A little bit of grace. A little grace each other's way. Amen? Reprove, rebuke. Remember where you're at, where you've come from. Be patient. And dealing with people, they're different. They have their own, they're things that they're dealing with. You don't even know. I can't count the number of times when I've been working through multiple issues with people, sorrows, sin issues, and other things. And some person who's mature, who should know better, comes along sideways with some unnecessary sinful complaint. Be patient. Be patient. Be gracious. Exhort, rebuke, and reprove with all patience. It's very clear the methodology that we need to use. Timothy has been called a timid Timothy by many people, which is possible. And certainly the force of this book, this last letter to Timothy that we have, is a very forceful encouragement for him to carry out his ministry. Timothy, Paul is telling him to be bold but patient, bold but humble, bold but gracious. Think about that with me. Isn't that hard to pull off as a human? Bold but gracious. Bold but patient. Right? Isn't that difficult to pull off sometimes? The very thing that makes you bold almost makes you impatient, doesn't it? You know, it kind of does. And that's what we're called to be bold but patient, to teach, to exhort, to rebuke, but be patient and gracious with one another as we do that. And the end, it really drives that, doesn't it? The end goal drives that. If the goal is for the good of the other person, it's a little more natural to be patient, right? Because it's not me you're needing to grow for or to do well for, but it's God. And so it's okay wherever you're at, and it's okay our interaction at those times, because it's God being glorifying God that matters. That's why it's such a good mindset for evangelism too, because we're not there to convert people, to check how many souls I've won this week box, but just to do our job and let God save people and let them have a decision whether or not they would want, whether they want to accept the truth. Dark days. So the application, so God's word is good, it's perfect, it's from Him, it's for us, it's for our good, it's good for all things, and we need to use it in the midst of our life circumstances. And this is really the application from the book. When you look at He gives us a sort of reminder then of what our experience is going to be in this world, and especially Timothy. Especially someone that's in ministry, a pastor, especially Timothy, what he would face. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is the day that we live in. I think it's probably always been the church age, quite honestly. But it's the day that we live in. And think about this. Why? Some reasons why that would be. Sound teaching is hard to hear sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes God disagrees with me. Isn't that true? Sometimes God disagrees with me. Sound teaching is hard to hear. And sometimes you know, people have different ideas about the text and things, but sometimes sound teaching is hard to hear. Think about this. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Several things in that passage I don't like. Right? I don't like my soul being pierced with a sword, do you? I don't like that. Yay! I don't like having the thoughts and intentions of my heart delved out and shown to me, do you? I don't like that. Right? Sound teaching is hard to hear sometimes, isn't it? Because you got the real you is compared with what God's will is and held right up to your face. Here you go. Here's what I say. Here's how you're supposed to live. Here's you. Oof! I don't want to hear that. I came here to be pumped up today. Right? Tell me God is love today. Right? That's just real life. That's human. That's what we want. We want to encourage. And sometimes life feels heavy enough and hard enough as it is. We don't want cut the day that we come to be encouraged. What's the point, though? God's people have to know the truth. Right? God's people have to know the truth. People have to know the truth, don't they? Don't people have to know the truth? They may not want to hear the truth, but they have to know the truth. A lot of times when I'm talking to people, I tell them, I just want you to be able to make an informed decision. You know, I don't want you to go around just with your blinders on. I just would like you to be able to make an informed decision. It's up to you. I can't make that decision for you, but I'm just telling you what God says. The church sometimes will forbid certain topics. I've spoken in churches, and never before the fact, thankfully, because I'm not sure I would speak there, but I've spoken in several churches where they had forbidden topics. And I've normally found that out later. And one time I told a group of guys that asked me to speak, I said, well, if I'd have known that, I would have spoke on that. They were like, oh, kind of laughed, you know. You know, one of them was, don't ever speak about money here. Wow. The Bible talks a lot about money. I mean, you're just shortchanging yourself. There's a lot of things like that. It's in our world. And it's active in our world today. Some churches will forbid certain topics. Sometimes the whole ministry's focus is a watered-down message, or you want a specific, just talk about this or that or whatever. And sometimes in our world, we just see downright, in-your-face, false teaching. It just has nothing to do with the Bible, not in the Bible. It's all over our world today. Why would that sell? Why would that be what, you know, because some people do very well with those kind of focuses. Why? People will not endure sound teaching but have itching ears. It's what we want. Right? Sometimes that's what people want. They want to have itching ears. They only want to hear what they want to hear. They handpick certain teachers with the right message. They find the certain people that write what they want to hear, come with a preconceived notion and not coming to be transformed by what God says. And honestly, often, and anybody can be guilty of this, often having not willing to listen, not willing just to say, okay, let me just tell me what you think the Bible says. Let's talk about that. Let's look at the text. Not willing to listen. I want what I want. Tell me what I want to hear. Give me the message that I want to hear. And it says teachers to suit their own passions in that point. Teachers to suit their own passions. I would submit to us this morning that if our church has a mindset that we're only going to listen to what we want to listen to, I know maybe nobody here even has this, but it has to be said. If you have that mindset that you are going to set the agenda for what you will listen to, you have really ceased to become a church of Jesus Christ at that point. That's a hard statement to make, but it's really true. Because what has happened in the world is God has created us and then we fell and separated ourselves from us, from him, we can't know him. Right? And so he communicated his word to us so we could know him. And then, and when Christ came and died for us, and before he left, he instituted his church to be, as we saw in the last passage, primarily focused on using his word, amen? Preaching, teaching, growing together, and out in the world proclaiming the gospel. And if we say, you know, that's nice and everything, but I'm going to set this over here because this encourages me more, or I'd like you to take about 3/4 of this out and just do the things that I want to do, you have ceased to become the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? You're not using his word. You're something, right? But you're not necessarily a church of Jesus Christ. That's really critically important. It's serious stuff. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, as much as I muck it up, and I'm glad to admit that because I struggle with it, I have to go through passage by passage and just teach what it says. I have to. You know, sometimes I would love to pass over certain things. Maybe some things, maybe a lot of them, are just not that exciting on a Sunday morning. It's what God laid out for us. Clear preaching. And then at that point, it's between you and God. You will not always like what you hear. But maybe at that time when you don't like what you hear is when God is trying to speak to you the clearest. Right? You know what I mean? Isn't that true? You know, if I just heard what I wanted to hear, I would be limited to what I wanted to hear. Right? You know, I would be limited to the things that I want to know about. I wouldn't be letting God cut. I wouldn't be letting God's sword get into the inner person and expose the weaknesses that I would just as soon keep there, right? Amen? But then the word comes in and it cuts, and that's when, you know, I don't like that. Well, what's God say about that? Let me look at the text, make sure the guy's saying what's right. And then just letting God cut, letting God. And so be careful how you respond to biblical messages. Sometimes you won't want to hear it, and sometimes that's what God really wants to use in your life, just to say, it's me, I'm here, I'm speaking to you, it's me. And I know what you need, not what you want, but I know what you need. In dark days, that's a sad commentary. And I think it's really not necessarily a modern commentary. It's a commentary on humanity. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions, will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And the Bible tells us every single one of us would do that left to our own devices. Every single one of us would. It's only the grace of God that any of us want God or want his truth, want his word in our life, and want to be changed. So, what do we do? Do your job. Do your job. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Be sober-minded. You know, this is something that I've really meditating on this year a lot, is just being more sober-minded. Just, you know what? Sometimes not all fun and games. Just be sober-minded. Just be serious about it. And it has the idea of being committed, steadfast, and stable. And the overarching idea is perseverance. Perseverance. Understand where we are, where we live. It's not heaven. And be sober-minded. Be ready to work, do your job, do what we're supposed to do here, and fulfill the Great Commission. Endure suffering. Right in there again, this book is peppered with ideas about suffering. Paul talks about it all the time, and especially in connection with ministry and life in Christ. Paul gave us an example of that, didn't he? The man suffered for the gospel. He exchanged an amazing, easy, quote-unquote, religious, spiritual life as a Pharisee, full of all the benefits and blessings of that, cash and notoriety and all that, for persecution, having to scrape by a living, making tents, traveling all over, preaching the gospel to people that many times didn't want to hear. Paul talked a lot about suffering because that's his experience, and that is, as he told us, all who desire to live godly life will suffer persecution. Do your job. Always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. This is an interesting thing. Of course, I think about this a lot as well. Do the work of an evangelist, and that means just to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was working with a guy a few years ago who was a church planter who failed, and he had some personal things he needed to work through. And he told me, why our church plant failed, I didn't have anyone with the gift of evangelism. Right? Well, that's interesting, so I want to talk about that a little bit. I didn't have anyone with the gift of evangelism. Now, we were talking about other things, so I didn't really bust a chops about that or get into it, but there are really not that many people with the gift of evangelism. I mean, I've met some, you can tell, and there may be some that are not fulfilling it or using it or whatever, but that's not what he says here, is it? He doesn't say use people with the gift of evangelism. He says, do the work of an evangelist, right? Guess who he's talking to there? Timothy, right? But isn't that good for all of us? Do I have any proof for that? There's a couple, right? Go and make disciples. It starts with doing the work of an evangelist. It's interesting, even as this weekend, the focus was amazingly good and everything like that. And so I don't want to be too nitpicky. But I think we have, very often, we have separated the Great Commission from evangelism. And we make evangelism and discipleship. So we say evangelism and discipleship. That's probably true. But really, isn't it one great work of God? As you share with people, what are you trying to do? You're trying to make a disciple, right? You're trying to get someone to follow Jesus Christ. Okay, it's all about making disciples. And you're not trying to just give somebody some blank statements. You want them to come and learn about Christ. And, of course, this passage talks about preaching. Going to the world and proclaim is one of our young people quoted today. That was cute as could be. Do the work of an evangelist. Jesus left us here for this very thing. And he tells us, proclaim the gospel. Preach the word. That's what we're here for. We need to have a greater degree of compassion on the lost and dying, and honestly, a greater zeal for Christ, don't we? You know, it's whatever it is, but it's just my opinion, and so whatever, you don't have to agree with me. But I've seen in our association sort of this focus on discipleship, we call it, focus on discipleship, which gets us into a building to do a study, right? And one of the things I think the speaker said this week was great. He said, anytime I was doing any discipleship, we'd go to a coffee house. He said, discipleship is out of the building. It's out in the public square. And that's a great way to do it. But it's got us into the building. It's got us into a class. And I think in many ways, because it's more comfortable for us. It's more comfortable for us together doing a study in a class than it is out talking to our neighbor. Than it is out meeting people on the street and sharing with them, or people at work and sharing with them. That can be a little bit stressful sometimes, or something that's hard. There's no separation. It's like you're making a disciple, you're preaching the gospel. You got to preach the gospel. They got to hear the truth before they can even follow Christ. So there's a real connection there to sharing the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word as you live. Having compassion on the lost and really having a higher view of God, that God's glory, God's will is for us, for his people, is to share the gospel with people. Not everyone is going to want to hear. There are the people with itching ears that you're going to meet. The lady that I told you about earlier that said her husband, gave her this bad example, all these things. When the first thing I said, hey, can you mind if I ask you a question? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? And she said immediately, please do not witness to me. Right? She didn't want to hear the truth. So I just went away sad. We talked for almost an hour after that. And I got to share the gospel with her and ask her about 5 hard questions. And she answered them. She at least said something, you know. So they won't want to hear necessarily, but you have to be ready and have the right attitude. And you'll still be able to engage people, even those that don't want to necessarily hear. Preach the gospel. Be ready. do the work of an evangelist, share. I definitely do not have the gift of evangelism. Oh my goodness. But just trying to do what God's asked me to do. Right evangelism, compassion on the lost, glorifying God, requires a change in life. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. You know, you won't always feel like sharing the gospel. Maybe that's an understatement, but you won't always feel like it. Some of the sweetest memories I have of sharing with people is when I just really didn't even want to talk to the person. And God had them say something to me. Right? And I was just like, oh, I just have too much going on, too much I'm carrying, I don't want to have to deal with it. And then someone would say something to me and I'd be like, okay. You know, you gotta take those. Duke used to say, it's one thing if we're not sharing the gospel to people in our community, but it's another thing if people are coming to our church and we don't even know if they're born again. We probably better at least be talking to them, right? So I got to meet a lot of people like that too. So change of life. Be ready. Be ready. In season, out of season. You may not feel ready. It may not be on your schedule, but you have to develop a lifestyle of sharing the gospel. That's something that's helping me the most over the last 2 years is to focus on a change of lifestyle rather than an event and a must do. A must do. Because if it's a thing that you have to do, you might do it, but you won't do it much. Because it's more of a checkbox. It almost has a legalistic flavor to it. Well, I guess I'm supposed to share the gospel. I better do it. Which maybe that's a place to start. But rather just being honest with God, being repentant and praying about it and saying, and then seeing people differently and trying to love them more and letting God change your lifestyle so that you're ready then. You're ready to preach the word. You're ready to speak the truth. You're ready to engage people. You're looking for people to talk to. And that's maybe one of the reasons it's easier for me. I like meeting people. I like talking to people. And so that maybe makes it a little easier for me. But as you look around you, as you think with me today, the world needs you. Time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. They will turn away from listening to truth. They will wander off into myths. Time is short. Fulfill your ministry, he tells Timothy. I'd like to encourage you today to think about your life. Your life. You know people. You work with people. You have people in your family. You have people on your street. You know, just to give you an example, Lori and I are next door neighbors. They ripped our yard to shreds over a year ago. Tore it up. Completely destroyed it. And I'm not really a yard person, so that made it a little easier. But I thought, you know what, that's just not right. They didn't even ask us. They should fix our yard. You know, what are they doing? And so I didn't say anything. The lady came over the next day, and she was pure white, and she was like, oh, the yard people, the drainage people didn't tell us they were going to go in your yard. I don't know what they did. I'm so sorry. You know, they said they'll fix it. You know, okay. I said, oh, it's fine, man. Don't worry about it. And I was assuming if you tear someone's yard up, you go put sod in. You make it look like it was. You know, if you're a reputable company, you make it look nice. Nah. Right? We got big ruts all through our yard. It's a disaster. Well, the people had been fairly friendly, and we didn't even see them outside. And it was weird, you know. So I just let it go, whatever. And I thought, you know, I should really call him on that. I thought, well, whatever, God will use it. I might be able to get to talk to him or something. So I just let, just whatever. It might be hard to mow, is what I was thinking. Spring came. It's probably going to be pretty hard to mow. Well, the guys came back in spring, smoothed it out, put some seed on it, and it turned out okay. It was fine. So whatever. Well, we were doing some promotion for the VBS in our neighborhood, and we went over to their house and knocked on their door, and they weren't home, and we went down the street, and there they drove in. So we went up and talked to them and said, hey, how you doing? And they have a little kid, and we started talking with them. We talked to them for probably over an hour, and we had to say, hey, we've got something else to do. That's how much they wanted to talk. But here's the thing. They were afraid that we were mad at them is why we hadn't seen them. Think about what opportunity we would have missed if I would have got ticked over a yard. Wouldn't have got to share with them. Wouldn't have got to have any ministry with them at all. Okay? Time is short. Fulfill the work of an evangelist. Some of the things that matter in life don't matter. They don't matter at all. They were listening, too. They have some church and religion in their background, and they were listening, and I'm encouraged. I hope, and I hope you're praying with me, that we'll get to do a Bible study with them soon. They're a young couple, and they have, you know, their life is going here and there, but they're open. They're open. We were just out promoting the VBS, and we got to talk with them for over an hour about Christ and their life and everything. And so you never know what God's going to do. You have to be ready in season, out of season. Develop a lifestyle sharing the gospel. Have a different view of people. They need to hear the truth. You love them enough to tell them the truth. I've met quite a few people who did not want to hear the truth. But because they were shocked that I cared enough about them to talk to them, they wanted to hear anyway. Isn't that interesting? And I've had many people almost cry. Some of them have, but I've had many almost cry because I cared enough to say hi to them. That's the world you live in. Be ready. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill what God has for us. Use the word in season, out of season, and see what God is going to do with you. Let me pray for us. Well, God, we are just thankful for the opportunities you give us all the time around people around us. We know this society is getting continually closed off with just the whole two-car garage and technology mentality, or people just don't have the same relationships we used to have. But we can be out. We can meet people, and we can obey what you've told us to obey here in this passage today. And we know our weakness, and we need grace, Lord, and we just ask you to help us. Please help us to fulfill your will, to be ready, to let you change our lifestyle, to be more gracious as we share the truth, to have the right heart attitude, because we love you, you're great, and we want you glorified, and we care enough about people that it horrifies us to think they might go to hell. Some will go to hell without even hearing. What a terrible thing. And I just pray that you'd help us to be more faithful, certainly with the people that we know, to be more gracious and loving, especially as we interact with them. Lord, we just pray you'd glorify yourself in our church. We know we have a lot of challenges and a lot of need. We have a lot of blessings. And we're very thankful for all of that. And just pray you'd continue to work in us your will. We love you and we're trusting you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.